If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Luke chapter 15, and we're going to be looking this morning at the parable of the prodigal son together, and we're going to pray for God's word in a minute, and then we're going to pray for folk afterwards and just open our hearts to the Lord and just have a ministry time together and see how the Lord leads us, because the Lord is here this morning. And it's good to be in his presence. Lord, we just thank you so much this morning that we just together as your children, as the people of God. Lord, thank you all over the world today, all over this nation. People are gathering right now worshiping you, Lord. Thank you in every province, in every village, in every area. Lord, your people are turning to you and worshiping you and opening your word. And we're part of that, Lord. Thank you. There's a great company of people that have been gathered. And we pray this morning as we gather here, Lord, in Grace Generation, that you would speak to us, that you'd open your word, you would change us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And so, we're going to be looking at this parable over the next 2 weeks. We're busy with the stories of Jesus, and they're radical stories, and we're going through them, these stories, in order that they may change our lives, and that God may do a deeper work in us. So let's, as we gather week by week, that's what we're wanting. And I'd encourage you to bring your friends as well to hear God's word, to sit under the word of God. And what I want to do, I'm preaching this week and next week, over the next 2 weeks, we want to look at this famous story that we all know so well in Luke 15. It's really a very clear presentation of the gospel. And so I'm going to be looking this morning at the theme of forgiveness, through this parable this morning that Jesus told. And then next week, I'm going to look at the topic of anger, because it's a big topic in South Africa, and so is forgiveness. And I hope it'll help you. Okay. So come back next week. We're going to help with that. And then as you pick up some of the other parables as well, we're going to look at these themes, running through them to help us in our daily lives and help us to be missional and to affect our city for the glory of God and for the gospel. So let's read together this amazing story, this parable together, and we pick it up in Luke chapter 15 from verse 1. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners," there were two groups of people, notice that, "tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and scribes grumbled." There were two different groups of people, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep," he goes through that about the lost sheep, the lost coin, which Benson has already covered. And then he comes to the parable of the prodigal son from verse 11. "And he said, there was also a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living." We find out later it's parties and prostitutes. "And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the field to feed pigs," which is the worst thing you could get a Jew to do. "And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. And so when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he rose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. And he ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his oldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew near the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. And his father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, These many years I've served you, and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I may celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed a fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Aren't these stories wonderful? They're just amazing. And so this morning we want to look at this amazing story that really spells out the gospel so clearly to us this morning. And we really also want to tie it in with our Freedom in Christ material that we've been going through. Avril suggested us we need to tie these themes together. And here this morning we have an amazing opportunity to do that, because this week in our small groups we're looking at forgiveness. And so this morning we want, as a precursor to that, we want to look at this whole subject of forgiveness. And that's what we're going to be doing. And as I said, next week we'll look at anger. And so we're going to go into this parable and just see what it tells us about the forgiveness, really, of the father. It's called prodigal son. Prodigal means reckless, reckless living. But really, it's not just about a reckless son. It's about the reckless father who demonstrates reckless grace. Say reckless grace. Reckless grace to us, and reckless forgiveness in a way to us as well. And that's what we're going to see. We're going to see what forgiveness does in our lives. We're going to see what the forgiveness of God really means to us. We sang earlier, my chains fell off and my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. And I'm praying this morning as we get gripped again with what the gospel is. What the gospel is, that it will truly set us free. And it's such a privilege to be able to preach these truths. And we want to just acknowledge Tim Keller, because he really says in the Church of the Redeemer, which is a church in Manhattan in New York, that this parable changed his whole life and it's changed his church. And so it's a really central story in the Bible. And it's a story not just about one lost son, but about two lost sons. They both were lost. And we'll see next week about the older brother. And it's a story also about the father's forgiveness, which is absolutely amazing. And that's what we want to open up this morning, because this story really represents, and we've touched on the story before, we've preached it before, but the story represents two ways of going to hell, really. And you can be lost living a sinful, immoral life, parties and prostitutes. You can be lost that way, but you can also be lost by living a good life. And that may shock you. You can be lost as the disobedient younger brother, and you can be lost by being the good older brother, obedient and moral and upright, but both were alienated from the Father. Both really were alienated from the Father. And Jesus is speaking here to two groups of people. On the one hand, he's got the Pharisees and the scribes, and they're grumbling and muttering. And on the other hand, he's got sinners and tax collectors on the other side. And he's speaking the story, addressing both of them. He's addressing both of them. Jesus was brilliant in his stories. He was a master storyteller, and he was highly intelligent. And here he brings out the gospel, and he speaks about the gospel, which is different to any other religion. The gospel is different to any other religion, and it's such a privilege, friends, to be able to preach the gospel, because Christianity is not like any other religion. It's completely different. The gospel is in a completely different category. The gospel teaches us how to connect with God. And it's not through obedience. Every other religion, Islam, Hinduism, every other religion says, be good and God will accept you. Maybe. Hopefully. Probably. We think so. Christianity says, God has accepted you. Now go and be good. Hallelujah. It's completely different. And it's important for us that we don't lose the gospel, because the gospel can go underground. The church can lose the gospel. Sometimes for generations, the church preaches either an obedience, salvation by works, or it kind of loses its way. And it's important for us not to lose the gospel. And so we're preaching this morning, not just because I'm excited, but because we don't lose the gospel. Hallelujah. It's going on our website so that we don't lose the gospel. We mustn't lose this stuff. We're preaching this stuff for us, but also for the generation to come. And that's what the story is about. You can miss God by being bad, and you can miss God by being good. And every week, churches and communities are not just filled with bad people who need God, but they're filled with good people who need God. And sometimes that's the more difficult category. Because people that are good and upright and live good lives, and sometimes they can even put Christians to shame. The older brother had nothing on his list to repent of. Nothing. Being good, being obedient, hardworking, stayed at home. But he was lost. He was lost. But he had nothing on his list. So we need to understand that the gospel, friends, is very, very different. The bad son needs to realize that his sin had alienated him from the Father. The good son needs to realize that his morality and his goodness had alienated him from the Father. The gospel is for sinners, and the gospel is for self-righteous people. The gospel is for sinners, and the gospel is for religious people. And where are religious people found? In churches. So we need to preach the gospel in the church. Hallelujah. It's not just on the street corners. It's in the churches as well. And so if we look at the younger brother, he comes to the father and he says, "Dad, I want my share of the estate," which was outrageous in that culture because you had to wait for your father to die. He says, "Give me my share of the estate," and he divides it in half, which was also outrageous because normally in that culture, the older brother would have got 2/3 and the younger brother would have got 1/3. And what's even more outrageous is the son is basically saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead, really, because I really want your things. I don't want you. So give me my stuff." And he liquidates it, and off he goes. Because the father, he divided his property between both sons. He literally tore himself apart. Because in that culture as well, your land was everything. And your wealth was tied up in your land. And so he literally gave himself away for the son. And off he goes. And you know the story. He spends all his money. He parties. He spends all his money. He loses all his friends. And while he's in the pigsty, he comes to his senses. And sometimes God will let you go into a pigsty to wake you up. And sometimes when we even, this is just a side, just give me a moment. Sometimes when we pray for people, say, "Lord, they're heading for the pigsty, please save them." And the Lord says, "But that's where I'm sending them, because they're going to wake up there. I'm dealing with something in their lives." And here he wakes up and he comes to his senses and he says, "My father's house, let me go back to my father's house." And he prepares his speech and he's on his way back to the father's house. And the father's been, for months or years, we don't know, the father's been going about his business, but he's been looking and longing for his son. Looking and longing for his son who was in a far country. And then one day he sees this figure coming over the hill and he recognizes the walk and he recognizes it's his son. Maybe he was in rags. If you look at Rembrandt's painting, which we've got up at number 9, because this parable has meant so much to me, and it's also in my home. He was in rags and his shoes are finished and he comes limping home and the father recognizes the son and he runs to the son. He gathers up his clothes and he runs to the son. In that culture, the older men don't run. They don't run. But he runs to his son and he embraces him and he kisses him and he brings him home. And he says to his son, "You don't have to earn your way back. I'm bringing you back right now. I've forgiven you. You don't have to clean up your mess before I accept you. I accept you right now." And he kisses him. And he brings him home and he embraces him. And friends, that's exactly what God has done for us. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for us. And he embraced us. And he found us. And he ran to us. He ran to us. You didn't find God. God ran to you. God found you. He chose me. I didn't choose him. And he takes his rags off him and he puts on a robe of righteousness, the robe, the best robe in the house. And there's this exchange that takes place. This young son's foolishness and poverty and sin and lostness is exchanged for acceptance and adoption and a robe. and a fatted calf. And Luther called that the great exchange. For God so loved us that Christ became sin for us, that 2 Corinthians 5, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's amazing, friends. It's amazing. It's the gospel. What God has done for us. And we want to look deeper into it this morning. And so I want to talk to you about four things this morning about the gospel and about the story. Firstly, I want you to see that God has spoken a mighty word of forgiveness through the cross. Hallelujah. God has spoken a word of forgiveness through the cross. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness means that God releases you from all your debts. God forgives you of all that is against between you and Him. Every sin, every debt, every iniquity that you've ever committed, that you ever will commit in the future. Jesus has forgiven you for that. It's a release and freedom from every gift, from every penalty. And it's a gift of freedom and a gift of healing. My chains came off, literally. My heart was free. I said to my wife, I'd love to take some chains and pull them off and throw them on the stage. She said, please don't do that. But you know what I mean. My chains came off. My heart was free. Hallelujah. Through the gospel, it's forgiveness. And it's powerful, and it's at the very core of the gospel. So in our Freedom in Christ books, it says justice is giving people what they deserve. That's why we have a justice system, to give people what they deserve. You commit a penalty, you get justice, you get a punishment for that. Mercy is not giving people what they deserve. So we're merciful. Instead of punishing them, we say, okay, we're going to let you off. We're going to be merciful. But grace is even better than that. Grace is giving people what they don't deserve. So what the Father should have done, He should have said, sure, we'll find you a spot with the hired men, we'll give you a bit of work, and you earn your way back, boy, I'm watching you. But He was gracious. He was loving. You see, friends, the good news of the gospel is that there is forgiveness with God the Father, and He has spoken that word of forgiveness in the cross. In the cross, we have been forgiven. Hallelujah. The entire world, the entire universe has been forgiven through the cross. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself. Look at this. Not counting their trespasses against them. And entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin. So that in Him, we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God has spoken that message of forgiveness out through the cross, friends. He's spoken it out. God has forgiven the entire world through the cross. The cross was, Peter was saying on Thursday in the prayer meeting, come to the prayer meeting. God is meeting with us. He was saying the work of the cross is mighty. It's mighty. And God has spoken that word out through the cross. And when we accept that word of forgiveness, when we say, Lord, I accept your forgiveness, it means we were guilty in the first place. It's also a word of judgment. If I say to you, I forgive you, it means you've done something wrong against me. And when we accept the message of forgiveness, it's also a word of judgment, realizing that we've sinned and we've been lost and we've drifted from God. And the gospel is this, listen carefully. The gospel is that we respond to God because we've already been forgiven, not in order to be forgiven. It's the difference between biblical repentance and legal repentance. John Calvin, the great John Calvin, said, faith and repentance is a response to grace of what God has already done in Christ. It's not a condition of grace. So God does not save you on behalf of your repentance and your prayers and your tears. God has already forgiven you. Before you have done anything, He's forgiven you in Christ. That's what's so staggering about the gospel. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo-hoo. You can't condition God into forgiving you by your repentance. We got saved in such a legalistic background. The way I got saved, let me tell you how I got saved. I think I was saved already, actually. But let me tell you what happened. He said to us, you've got to go for a couple of days and write down every sin you've committed. And then come and repent and confess all those sins. And we did that. I mean, how can you remember every sin you've committed? Hello. But we did that. And we spent hours confessing our sins. Because I wanted to be right with God. And I was misled at that stage. And I repented and I prayed. Then I went home and I thought, is my list finished? No, I need more paper. And I go back again. And I went through this for months and repenting and trying to get right with God. I know what I'm talking about. But the Bible says He's already forgiven you in Christ. Hallelujah. Woohoo! And when you realize that, say, Lord, I want to repent of everything. Lord, I want to serve You. Lord, I can't believe this grace. That's what the gospel is. We justified not because we believe, but because we receive what Christ has done. And in that receiving, we also believe and repent. It's mixed up in there. But God is the one who works first. Notice the Father kissed the Son before He said anything. The Son had His speech, but He said, shh. And He kissed Him. It was a kiss of acceptance. It was a kiss of acceptance from the Father. It's the unconditional freeness of grace. And friends, this must have a radical impact on us and on our lives. And I want you to notice the restorative power that the Father's forgiveness did in His Son's life. The Son was struggling in three areas. He said, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against God. He knew that he'd lost his relationship with God. He'd fallen out with the Father. He said, I've also sinned against You. And he'd lost his own personal worth. Look what he said about himself. He'd lost his own personal worth and value. He said, I am not worthy to be called your son. If you don't experience the forgiveness of God, it messes up your personal worth and identity. It's only really in the gospel that you find personal worth and identity. I am what I am by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Not because I'm Zulu or Afrikaans or English or South African or anything. Those are subcategories. It's who I am in Christ. Hallelujah. It affected his personal worth. He said, don't call me a son. It affected his identity and his destiny. What you call somebody is very powerful. He said, I don't want you to call me a son anymore. Call me a hired hand. Father said, no, I'll have none of that. You're a son by adoption into my family. Hallelujah. And friends, we need to experience the forgiveness of God because it affects your destiny. It affects your identity. It affects your purpose like nothing else. He says, treat me like a hired hand. He said, treat me like a hired hand. It affected your purpose on a day to day. I ask you this morning, how do you see yourself in God's eyes? How do you expect God to treat you on a daily basis? Do you expect God to treat you like a son or a daughter? Or do you expect God to really treat you like a hired hand? When you go through difficulties, what do you feel in your heart of hearts? Do you feel you're a real son? You're a child of God? Because knowing the forgiveness of God will restore this to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He couldn't even forgive himself for what he'd done. Hallelujah. But once you experience the love and the forgiveness of God, you're able to forgive yourself. There's only two kinds of forgiveness the Bible talks about. It talks about God forgiving you and us forgiving others. All this stuff about forgiving yourself, well, okay, but you can only forgive yourself once you know God's forgiving you. Hallelujah. And we receive self-forgiveness in the light of His forgiveness. And friends, this is powerful, even on an interpersonal level. When there's unforgiveness, these areas are affected. And so there was such power in the Father's forgiveness to restore the Son. And so as Keller would remind us, the bad son is found and saved, and the good son is lost in the story. It's a scandalous story. But there's forgiveness in the gospel. That's my first point. Secondly, notice how the Father runs to the Son. Notice how he runs to the Son. He runs to the Son and he embraces the Son. Spurgeon said, the Father had a heart of mercy. The Father had eyes of mercy when he saw the Son. He just was filled with mercy and compassion. The Father had feet of mercy. He ran to his Son. The Father had arms of mercy. He embraced his Son. And the Father had lips of mercy. Oh, there's a whole sermon there. He kissed his Son. This is who God is. Friends, this is who God is. This is who he is. And I want you to notice that the Father ran at the first opportunity. His Son may have been gone for a long time, but as soon as he saw the Son, he ran to the Son. He took the initiative. Why did he do that? And that's my point number two. Forgiveness is always your move. Why did he do that? Why did the Father run towards the Son? Listen carefully. He ran towards the Son because he had already forgiven the Son at home. He forgave him at home. When he met him on the road, he just embraced him because he'd already forgiven him at home. And you see, friends, biblical forgiveness is always your move and my move. It's always your move. It's always my move. Avril's given me challenges with my preaching because his illustrations are so spicy and colorful that come from his life. And I was thinking about this sermon. And this week, God provided an opportunity for me. A couple of years ago, I went through some real pain and struggle in the city with other leaders from a particular situation. And we met and we forgave each other and we prayed together. And so we spoke out forgiveness. But I didn't really want to see this guy. I know you guys never have this situation. So, you know, Avril is digging a deeper honesty pit here for sermon illustrations. So let me proceed. And so I didn't want to see this guy. So I'd say, hi, how are you? Great. But I didn't really want to see him because I just didn't want to see him much. Had I forgiven him? Well, I think so. But you see, God wants to take us deeper in these things. And so this week we had prayer and fasting out at Albert Falls with all the pastors. And the one meeting I came a bit late because I was busy. And all the chairs were taken except for one chair that was right next to this guy. And I looked around and I just didn't want to sit there. But I had to sit there. And then to make matters worse, we had breaking of bread. And everyone was loving each other and praying. And we got together and we were able to speak. And we were able to talk. And we were able to go deeper. We were able to be honest with each other. And God kind of trapped us and he ambushed us. Because sometimes God kind of waits for you and then he kind of sets a trap. And we were in that. I couldn't get away. But friends, God wants to take us deeper. And forgiveness is always your move. If you understand the gospel. And this stuff is costly. This is not easy. This is tough. It really is. And so my third point is forgiveness, biblical forgiveness is sacrificial. Biblical forgiveness will cost you something. Biblical forgiveness will cost you something. Because in the true sense, biblical forgiveness is when you absorb the evil of others. You swallow it. You swallow it. Now, Dr. Phil and Oprah will tell you that forgiveness, you forgive others so that you can feel better about yourself. And even Neil Anderson makes that point. But let me tell you something. The gospel is deeper than that. The gospel is not just so that you feel better about yourself. The gospel means that you have to swallow evil. When people do horrible things against you, when people hurt you, when people offend you and malign you, What God wants us to do, he wants us to, in the grace of God, he wants us to swallow that and to remove it and to respond in love. Because when someone has wronged you, they have robbed you and they owe you something, and either they must pay or you must pay. And what was the father doing here when he embraced the son? He was swallowing the son's evil. He was swallowing the mistakes of his son. He was absorbing them. Biblical forgiveness is absorbing the debt and taking the initiative. That's what it is. And in that, you will also feel better once you've digested that. But sometimes it takes a while, or it can take a while. But biblical forgiveness, friends, is always your move. And I would encourage you, we need God to help us in this area. And the father went to the son because he'd already forgiven him. Because it's sacrificial and he takes the initiative. And in Matthew 5, it says the same thing. When you're in church, you're about to offer your gift and you're worshiping. And there you remember that your brother, your sister's got something against you. Leave your gift, leave the service. You go and be reconciled to your brother. Matthew 18, you go. Galatians 6, you go. It's always your move. The problem with the church and the problem with the world today is that we're all sitting on the porch. We're waiting for people to come to us. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how much I've been hurt. I'm waiting. And they, on the other hand, you don't know how much I've been hurt. They're waiting. But it's always your move. It's always your move. If you understand the gospel, you understand you're no better than that other person. And we can forgive because Jesus has forgiven us. Okay? And if we don't forgive, we get all messed up. And sometimes bitterness can creep in. Hebrews chapter 13, 12 verse 15 says, be careful no root of bitterness and defiles many. This stuff is contagious. Unforgiveness is contagious. Other people can catch it. Other people can pick up your offense and they'll get crosser than you about your own offense. Why? Because God gives you grace to handle your offense. He doesn't give your mate grace to handle your offense. And I've seen some people more cross about what happened. I said, but did this happen to you? No. Were you there? No. Where did you hear about this? Oh, 2 months later. But you're more cross than he is. And it opens the door for the enemy in all sorts of areas. And friends, we need to ask God to help us in this area. I need it. You need it. We all need it. And if we go to the other person and we just say, look, you know, I'm not just talking about just saying, look, forgive me for anything. No, talk it through. Take words with you. Talk it through. But go with a heart of forgiveness. And they don't receive you. You've done your bit. You leave it to the Lord. If you say to me, I can't, Craig, it's too difficult. I've been so hurt. I've been abused. You don't know what's happened in my life. I've been misrepresented. I say to you, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. That's where you look. You don't look to yourself. You look to Jesus. And I want to give you a verse this morning that just messed me up this week. Isaiah 52. Let's look there together. Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52 from verse 14. It's talking about the suffering Messiah. And it talks about him being wounded for our transgressions. Isaiah 52 verse 13 says, behold, my servant will act wisely. He'll be high and lifted up, and he shall be exalted. Look at this next verse. And many were astonished at you. His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. But he will sprinkle many nations. What does that mean? What does that mean? People were astonished. What does that mean? It means in the Hebrew, listen to me, it means people were horrified when they looked at Jesus on the cross. They didn't want to look at him because he was so smashed up that he didn't look human anymore. He was so beaten up on the cross. People didn't want to look. It was too shameful to look at. He was completely mangled on the cross. The Romans got hold of him. The Pharisees got hold of him. And he was beaten up. And people didn't want to look at him. One commentator said, this is an extremely strong way of saying how great his sufferings were. It meant that when people saw him on the cross, they stepped back in horror saying, is this person still human? He's so disfigured. And as he hung on the cross, what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Jesus. Jesus. Our Jesus. Oh, our Jesus. You have to live in the light of the cross. You have to live with a glimpse of Jesus in your heart. That's where your motivation comes from. To forgive others. And friends, if we live like this, if we truly are gospel-centered, if we live like this, we will find, my fourth point is that biblical forgiveness involves faith. You see what happened in the story? The father basically resurrected his son. He gave him new hope and new life. He just resurrected him. He said, no, keep quiet, come. You're coming back home. He resurrected him. He changed him in that encounter. And when we operate like this, when we so grasp the gospel, if we so respond to others in our families and beyond, in the workplace and other places, taking the initiative, realizing that the gospel is essentially a message of forgiveness, when we respond like this, we will resurrect people. We will resurrect our communities. We will resurrect things in our nation. We will be agents of change wherever we go. And that's what it says in Colossians chapter 3. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with each other. We do need to bear with each other. We get irritated with each other sometimes. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. How? As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And friends, all this forgiveness flows from the forgiveness of God. And it's very attractive in the world because the world knows nothing about this. This is foreign. This is different. This is completely different. This is how the Islamic world is going to be reached through this. This is more powerful than sending teenagers into communities strapped with bombs around them and stuff like that to bring change. This brings change. This is more powerful than any political party. Any ideology, this is the most powerful thing on the planet. And as Jesus hung there, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And when we start to operate, this is supernatural. This is not normal. This is not natural. This is not how we want to operate. But as we begin to operate like this, we become God's agents of change in the world. We become like our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. We start living differently. We start shining with the love of God. This is what the gospel is, friends. And so as I conclude, this gospel is a message of forgiveness, that God is a forgiving God and He's forgiven us in Christ. We sing that old hymn, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died He for me who caused His pain, for me who Him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, should die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, should die for me? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thy eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed Thee. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed Thee. Hallelujah. This stuff changes you. This stuff changes you and me. And so as I close, let me ask you this morning, have you received God's forgiveness? If you're not a Christian this morning, have you received God's forgiveness? Do you know the forgiveness of God in your life? Secondly, as a Christian this morning, is there someone you need to forgive? Are there situations you've faced and you're still carrying and you need to forgive? Or do you need to seek forgiveness from someone else? Let's do it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.